Meeting is called to order. First item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda.
Chair, I'd like to add item 7B, CUNY Corp review for the curriculum for the committee elections. 7B.
Any other amendments, changes to the agenda? Okay, seeing none, everyone, approval of the amended agenda?
Aye.
Aye, opposed, none, okay, motion carries. Item number two. I need my script. The approval of the Academic Senate meeting minutes of February 18th. Any objections? Okay, seeing none, motion passes. Administrative reports, memorials, announcements. Okay, I'm going to ask then.
Stephen Grover, the Senator for Philosophy. I just want to announce that on Wednesday, March the 23rd, we're having a memorial lecture for Hillel Gildin, our colleague who died, in fact, just over a year ago. Timothy Burns from Baylor is lecturing on Xenophon's Cyropaedia and the problem of justice. If you don't know what Xenophon's Cyropaedia is, well, we're not doing a good enough job here. Anyway, it's at 2:30 on Wednesday, March the 23rd in Powdermaker 351. Thank you.
I also have an announcement. Next Wednesday, on March 16th, there's going to be a presentation about CUNY Academic Works. That's the CUNY-wide institutional repository. You can use it to make your work available publicly. So that's going to be from 12 o'clock to 1:15, and it's going to be in Kylie 423. That's on March 16th.
Any further announcements? Okay, no announcements. Let's go to our guest speaker today, Leanna Taylor. She's the Associate Athletic Director for Student Athletic Performance.
Hi, everybody. Also with me today is Lydia Travis, Director of Compliance, and Ryan Black, our FAR, who is in the English department. First, we're going to play a quick YouTube video.
A day in the life of a student athlete at Queens College starts as early as 6 a.m. as our swimming and diving team prepares for practice. Afterwards, weights with our certified strength and conditioning coach, the only full-time strength coach in the East Coast Conference. A quick bite to eat, then it's off to an early morning class. Queens College student athletes average a 3.18 GPA and a 91% retention rate, so we take pride in maintaining a steady balance of academics, athletics, and community. The NCAA-mandated Faculty Athletic Representative, also known as the FAR, monitors missed classes, progress reports, and serves as a liaison to the academic community to ensure academic integrity and success. Student athletes may request an academic tutor and can take advantage of the Student Athlete Learning Lab located in the front lobby of Fitzgerald Gymnasium. Before or after practice, students visit our training room where our sports medicine staff coordinates orthopedic screenings, physicals, surgery scheduling, and rehabilitation. After class or on the weekends, athletes participate in one of our 30 annual service projects or charitable fundraisers, such as the Make-A-Wish Division II initiative. The summit is where over 125 student athletes reside and participate in many housing activities. Many of these students would be unable to afford on-campus housing if not for the athletic scholarships provided to them. Many student athletes end the day with practice headed by some of the NCAA's finest. Each coach is certified in 5 different CUNY and NCAA certifications. At least 1/3 of our coaches are former teachers in the public school system. Since 2011, Queens College has won 6 conference championships, while individual student-athlete accolades include 5 All-Americans and National Honorable Mentions, 8 All-Region players, over 100 All-Conference players, 14 All-Met players, 4 ECC Players of the Year, and 6 ECC Coaches of the Year. Queens College student-athletes strive to be the best in competition, the classroom, and the community. We ask for your continued support as we create champions on and off the field.
Thank you. And a little update since that video was made, our women's basketball team won the conference championship on Sunday, and they're headed to play Holy Family at Bentley University. So we were able to send them off this morning. So very quickly, just want to kind of give you a quick layout presentation. Of the athletic departments. Make this as painless as possible. We're Division II, which is a unique situation for us here at Queens College. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but all the other CUNY schools are Division III. So the Division II membership allows us to provide grant and aid money for our student athletes. So that makes us, with that, we're able to recruit and bring in international, out-of-state students here to the college. We do belong to the East Coast Conference. It is comprised of 11 universities. We are actually the only public university that is in the East Coast Conference. So that's unique for us as well. Very quickly, the athletic office, we're busy. We do a lot of things in there year-round. It's not just in your season and you don't see the coach. We're recruiting, we're training, we're raising money, we're doing community service. We're here on campus, actively involved year-round in the community. As I mentioned earlier, Ryan Black is our FAR, so he is our liaison to the faculty community. Any issues in regards to any notifications or basically any sort of form of communication to faculty comes through Ryan. And then again, who are we? We're close to 300 strong student athletes from around the world, around the country. Just very quickly, some of our academic success that I'm particularly very proud of. In my area, we focus on, heavily focus on the academic, just pushing them to make that equally as important as their athletics. So department-wide GPA is a 3.1. As you can see, we have Macaulay students, Time 2000, freshman honors. We're sending them to graduate programs. As you all know, the LCD program here is so competitive. We have a student athlete that's in the master's program, psych program. We have sent them out to law school, pre-med programs. So my goal is to make sure that when they leave, they have there's a step. What's going on after your eligibility is exhausted? And we have some very recognizable scholar awards they've received. In regards to business, so yes, we're the only CUNY that does give scholarships. So that would be like, well, how does that happen? Well, basically, we work really hard over there to generate the funds. So we have been very creative in creating some revenue-generating areas. Specifically, I'm sure you guys are all very aware of the summer camp program that goes on. Also, we rent out our facilities. We have our tennis center, the bubble indoor and outdoor courts that are so amazing and one of the best in the area. Our aquatics program is known all over Queens, and we do a fantastic job there retaining and bring in a nice amount of income so we can sustain our operations. Then as well as sponsorships, we had the naming rights of our baseball field, which is really exciting for us, and as well as individual sports clinics. So there you see the breakdown of funds. So I'm gonna pass it over to compliance in regards to NCAA and how those bylaws affect us in our operations.
Good afternoon. Again, my name is Lydia Travis. I am the Director of Compliance here at Queens College. My primary role is pretty much to to ensure that as an institution and as an athletics department, we are falling in alignment with the NCAA and ECC regulations. So the next two slides focus on the top five major and secondary violations within the NCAA. So as you can see, the top five major violations consist of extra benefits, head coach responsibility, fulfillment of credit hour requirements, two-year college transfers, and institutions' responsibility to certify academic eligibility. So there are a few of these that I would like to just elaborate on for a little bit. In terms of extra benefits, this pretty much consists of any special arrangement. So it's not permissible for student athletes to receive any special arrangement from any institutional staff, employee, or representative of athletics interests. This can range from being admitted into the institution without meeting the admissions guidelines to something as small as being able to wash your clothes in a facility that's not typically open to students. So student athletes are required to do things the same as any other general student on campus. The next violation that I would like to address is 14.4.3.1, which is fulfillment of credit hour requirements, which requires our student athletes to earn a total of 24 credit hours per academic year. And the next is the two-year college transfers. Many don't know that our transfer student athletes have various requirements in order to be academically eligible coming in. This includes six hours of transferable English classes, 3 hours of transferable math classes, 3 hours of science credit, and a 2.2 transferable GPA. And also coming in fall of 2016, there will be a limit on PE classes that students coming in from two-year institutions are able to receive. All right, and focusing on the top secondary violations in Division II, which include permissible expenses provided by the institution for practice and competition, tryouts, comments prior to signing, requirements for official visits, full-time enrollment requirements for practice and competition. So the three on this slide that I would like to particularly focus on include tryouts. So our high school students that have interest in our potential student athletes here at Queens have various things that they need to complete and boxes to check in order to be able to try out for a team here at Queens. And some of those include they must be a junior in high school. They cannot be in their season, and they can only have one tryout per sport at the institution. Also, they have to have a medical exam as well in order to try out for Queens College Athletics or any NCAA athletics. The next I'd like to take a look at are requirements for official visits, which include being registered in the Eligibility Center, being on our institutional request list. We must have copies of their transcripts on file, and the NCAA regulates many, many different things in terms of official visits, including the length of time they can stay, how much money we can spend on them while they're here, the types of entertainment and accommodations. And lastly, focusing on full-time enrollment requirements for practice and competition. I'm sure as many of you know, our students are required to maintain a full-time course load in order to be eligible to practice and compete, which at Queens College is 12 hours per semester.
Thank you. And just the last slide, this came across my email the other day, and it's basically just data and research on why people should hire student athletes. I mean, we truly feel that the experience we're giving them on top of a great education here at Queens College is preparing them to contribute and to go out and be good citizens with just all the whole package that's going on. So again, I just want to thank you for your time. Thank you, Manny, for setting this up for us. And at this time, it's open for any questions, right? Yes, question.
Like
That's a great question. In terms of those special privileges, there's nothing that a student athlete receives that's special outside of a special group of people. So it's not just student athletes. It may be... Correct. Exactly. Exactly. So it's not just student athletes who receive that benefit. Well, there's actually, and you may be able to speak a little bit more on where to actually find it, but there is a questionnaire for potential student athletes, whether they are high school students, potential transfer students, or students who are on campus, where they can fill out their academic information, their athletic background, what sport they're interested in competing in and trying out for, and a way to contact that coach.
Thank you. It gets emailed right to the
Are you with Macaulay, or by chance? Are you a Macaulay teacher, professor? Oh, okay, because I know we definitely have problems or issues with the Macaulay program. So that's why pre-registration is so important, and having that communication with the coach. We do have some wiggle room to move competition around if we know now. So if we know now in the fall that every Wednesday you can't make it because there's a science lab, we as a coach, I was a former coach here, we can move those competitions sometimes. So the student really shouldn't be registered for your class. So up front, you know, at that day one, this isn't you're missing too many class. You need to either take this a different semester, pick a different section, or tell your coach you're not going to the competition. Thank you. I appreciate it. Any other questions? Yes.
I have a question. I think part of the reason you're here today was inspired by an NCAA visit last June. Is there a periodic setup for NCAA visits to campus?
We could go either way here, but so we can choose to do a blueprint review, and this is just the NCAA coming on campus and evaluating our processes, and it's a very healthy opportunity for us to find out our weaknesses. So they did come in June, and do I know when they're coming again? I would say we'll probably call them in 2 years to reflect back on what we just did and then to see how we've improved and strengthened some of the weaknesses in our policies or in our procedures. So we probably have about a 2-year window from the last blueprint. Does that help? Does that answer your question, Manny? Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Question back here? Yes.
And I was wondering, I have two questions. One is, how do you support your teams more? Like, it's such a basic question, but I have had experience going to websites, trying to get tickets for something. It's hard to figure out, you know.
That's a great question.
Everyone is explaining.
Right.
Because, you know, whatever sport it is, it's been college, so we're going to come out of sport.
Right. Thank you so much for those Great questions. First of all, the way to promote or the way to find out what's going on next, obviously we do have a website that can kind of be overwhelming if you're hard to identify which sport and what. But I know that our sports information director sends out emails pretty regularly in regards to how we did and what's the next game. Do you guys get those? Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I have to find out that list because there are a lot of great stories he writes. So I would love for you guys to read them. So that's a great question. So I'm not sure, Ryan. What do you think for faculty? Right, to match. This is turned into one-on-one. Are you more concerned about seeing your specific students or just the whole, or, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, because we do have a lot of great causes. Almost every game is surrounded by some sort of service event as well. So, the website is a great place to start. Mm-hmm. All right, well,
Following up, something as simple as a monthly schedule, these are the whole game.
Right, that's great.
Okay, so I'm curious. Is there a faculty email, an email address where if you send something out, it goes to all
like
the faculty?
Lister.
Yeah, right. A list. Okay, so we'll have to get our hands on that because we do send the information out to the staff. Tennis. Well, that's encouraging to know that you are interested in kind of being a part of that experience for our student athletes.
And then to your second question, what you as a faculty can do to help us. Honestly, it's continuing to put together a great product in the classroom. I mean, we are starting to select these students in 9th and 10th grade, and we're selling them on the institution, you know, not selling them on me as a coach. And so, some situations come out, and we appreciate if you could work with the FAR to accommodate, because they are working hard, they're putting a lot of hours here, and just continue to communicate with our FAR is huge for us. Yes.
We are instituting a service learning program at CBS. How do you find tutors? We have more than 100.
That's great, because we are always sending them out to go find tutors. Well, we have a tutoring budget.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Yes. Thank you. We're looking for an accounting tutor. Oh, just throw that out there. All right, any other questions? Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, there are no special motions. Let's go to item number 5, committee reports, undergraduate curriculum committee.
I'd like to move the minutes of the undergraduate curriculum committee from February 18th. And ask unanimous consent.
Any objections to unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, motion passes. The Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes, February 17th, these minutes hold the record. They have defined the term voluminous, 122 pages.
So I move that the Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes dated February 17th, 2016 be accepted. Move unanimous consent.
Any objections? I didn't think there'd be any. Okay. Seeing none, motion passes. Next item on the agenda is the nominating committee report.
Hi, on behalf of Marion Fish, she's asking for unanimous consent approval on these nominees.
Okay, any objections to unanimous consent on this item? All right, seeing none, motion passes. There is no, I'm sorry, item 5D.
The chair of the governance committee has been meeting with the folks in the athletic department, and following the NCAA report, we were asked to make some revisions to the Committee on Athletic Policy, which we've included in the agenda. And so I move the adoption of the new Committee on Athletic Policy to bring us in compliance to the NCAA report, and I seek unanimous consent.
Okay, the Senate is doing tie-ins. There you go. Any objections to unanimous consent? All right, seeing none, motion passes.
Mr. Chair, we're not going to be moving the Committee on Academic Technology at this time.
Okay, the next item on the agenda, there is no old business. We go to new business. Item 7A, University Faculty Senate. We've talked about this before. These are the elections for the University Faculty Senate. Let's start out with the full-timers. Roberta Brody from GSLIS is running. There is a second open seat for full-timers. This allows nominations from the floor. Are there any? All right, seeing none then. Roberta Brody's elected to the UFS. In the part-time category, there are two openings. Jim McElwain and Stephen Harris. Any further nominations from the floor? Okay, seeing none, then both James McElwain and Stephen Harris are elected. Item 7B, this is the CUNY Core Review Committees, and we have two openings from the campus. We have two nominees, and I practiced this, Aaron Frendishus and Kate Petichenkina. All right, I'm close enough. Are there, again, this allows nominations from the floor. There are two openings. Any further nominations? Okay, seeing none, then both Aaron and Kate are elected. All in favor? Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you.